Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
All right, watch this in Romans 8. You get there, say amen. Verse number 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing, glorious testimony that we've just heard, and that you are faithful to your word. That you are faithful to your word. That your word never returns unto you void. That you'll always do what you said you would do. That we can take you at your word, and your word is pure, and your word is true, and your word is trustworthy. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would just increase our hunger for your word, for your spirit, for your will to be done in our lives. And God, I pray for every soul here tonight. I pray for those watching this live feed right now, Lord, that may be toying with a commitment to you. I pray for those that have been discouraged by delay. I pray for those that feel like they've done everything they know to do and are still not seeing results. We thank you for the gift of your spirit who leads us into all truth. And I pray for that leadership, Lord, that you would bless all that would be under the sound of my voice, that we would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, conviction of truth. God, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that you would override my premeditated thoughts, say and do what you want to do. May your spirit speak by me. May your word be on my tongue. May you make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Last week, we talked about patience. And Lord willing, we're going to wrap up this series on how to work your faith. And I want to continue in this thing about patience. James 1 and 4 says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm going to quote that again. This is coming from James. I know you're in Romans. Stay right there. But James 1 and 4 says, let patience. Let means that you must allow this. It's up to you. Let's a big word to only have three letters. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. And then James 1 and 4 ends with wanting nothing. In other words, when patience is finished, you don't want what you wanted. Only one of two things can happen for you not to want what you wanted. You either have to not want it no more, or you have to get what you want. When I was a young Christian, I read the 23rd Psalm, and I saw, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I remember watching this movie many years ago, and this young girl did some, I forget the name of the movie or what she did, but she quoted the verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then she did something that no one else could do. And she was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want this. And so it manifested. And so I had the mindset that because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he'll manifest my wants. But as I matured in the faith, I realized that God has the capacity to change my want. There was a time when I would have stood on, Lord, you said, if I delight in you, you will give me the desires of my heart. thinking that if my delight was in the Lord, he would just automatically grant every desire that was in my heart. Lord, I delight in you. You said if I delight in you, you would give me the desire of my heart. This is what I really desire, Lord, and you know I delight in you, so I thank you that I received my desire. But as I matured, I realized that my desires begin to change. That because I delighted in the Lord, the things that I desired changed. Things I once had an appetite for, I didn't have an appetite for anymore because I was delighting in the Lord. He started shaping my want. He started shaping my desire. And you need to know today that no matter what it is you think you want, because I believe there's somebody here that thinks they want something. I want you to know God has the capacity to change your want. He has the capacity not only to manifest your wants, but he has the ability to change your want. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? So when you read James 1 and 4 and it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God is saying, before you see the manifestation of your want, I'm going to require that you be patient. I'm going to require that there be some patience before there is a manifestation of your want. You're going to need patience before your want. It's a final step before there's going to be any manifestation of faith. There's going to have to be patience. Now, if you would put a bookmark here in Romans 8, and I want to go back over to the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter, and I want to show you why it is God requires patience before there can be a manifestation of your want. Why must I be patient? I mean, patience is an ugly word. Don't nobody want to be patient? Be real. You will think you want McDonald's until you see the line around the building. And then you look and see, you know, if you're on Pines Road, you look over there and see Whataburger and say, okay, less cars. And then you'll hop lines all because I'm not going to wait. And then you got them two lines and you're getting that inner line and you can't get out of it. You're like, I know I put my order in before you did and you cutting around the way. You need to park right there. You want to get out in direct traffic. Like, y'all wait, I'm coming next. I got my order in first. Patience is not anything we want to have and we take joy in, but the Word teaches us that without patience, we don't inherit God's promises. Hebrews 6 and 12 says, faith and patience are required if you're going to inherit the promise of God. Faith and patience are required if you're going to inherit the promise of God. So if I want God's promises manifested in my life, it's going to require faith and it's going to require patience. Now, patience is not, and you've heard me say this for years, not this putting up with something. Patience says I'm going to be consistent and I'm going to be constant, and it is required before there's going to be a manifestation of faith in our lives. We're going to have to apply the force of patience. Now, let me show you why I believe God requires patience before there's a manifestation of his word in our lives. Watch this in Luke 21. If you're there, say amen. Let's read it down in verse number 19. Luke 21, verse 19. Ready? Read. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Read that again. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Possess means you're getting a hold of, you're gaining control. I'm possessing my soul through patience. Look at the wording there. Through your patience, possess ye your soul. God is saying that through patience, you're going to become a true disciple. This is what the Amplified says of Luke 21, 19. It says, by your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. Man, I like that right there. I'm gonna read that again. By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. That's looking at the interpretation of the wording there. So there's a battle to be won over my mind when I'm patient. I need that discipline. I need that consistency to be constant in his word, taking him at his word. And God says that without patience, there won't be a manifestation. Go back with me to Romans 8, verse number 25. For many believers, it's not that you have not done the right thing. It's that you have not done the right thing long enough. Now, when I was a little boy, we used to travel down to Zawali, Louisiana, just about every weekend, every Friday. We'd have everything loaded up. My daddy'd get off work, and we'd go down to what we called the camp. Martinez Landing in Zawala, Louisiana, practically where I was raised there on Toledo Bend on the weekends. And even though we made that trip every single week, I never failed in asking my mama, when are we going to get there? And she never failed in giving me the same answer, when we get there. And everything in me did not like that answer. Why are you going to tell me? I know I'm going to be there when I get there, but when are we going to get there? My mama would always answer the same way. We'll be there when we get there. And I'm like, that doesn't tell me anything. What you mean we're going to be there when we get there? I didn't say all that right there, because in my days, you didn't talk back to your mama like that, you understand? So you might be asking, Pastor, how long do I have to be patient? How long must I be consistent? The answer is that with everything, when it comes to God, with everything, there's a due season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 teaches us to every purpose, there's a time. That nothing can have a purpose in your life and there not be a time for that purpose. So to every purpose, there's a time. There's a season for everything. And that's called, in the Bible, due season. Due season's when I'm walking in the harvest of my seed. Due season's when I'm walking in the harvest of my faith. We begin this series with volume 1 on how to increase your faith. And we talked about the importance of treating faith as seed and the word of God as seed and sowing the word and sowing the word. Well, due season is when what you have sown begins to come to harvest, when what you have planted comes to fruition. That's due season. And to every seed, there's a due season. God sees when it is. We don't see it, but it is there. It has been there from the moment you applied faith. The moment that you begin to apply the word of God to your life, the moment that you begin to plant his word in your life, there was an appointed day. There was an appointed due season for your breakthrough. You can't see it because time doesn't let you, but that does not mean that it is not there. It is a reality in your future, and by patience, you're going to stay on the right path to get to the right breakthrough. But what the enemy wants you to do is he wants you to get off the path of patience so that you never arrive at the appointed place at the appointed time to get what was established from the first moment you applied faith. Patience is going to get you there, but if you be impatient, you're not going to get there. Amen. I wish I could just tell you, you know what? It's going to happen either way. Do what you want to do. You're still going to get the same result. No, that's the coochie, coochie, coo church that wants to tell you everything going to be all right no matter what you do. I'm here to tell you the truth at the truth church, and that is you can alter God's perfect plan for you by bad decisions. And when you get there, you won't be able to blame God because that's not what he told you to do. Now watch this in Romans. It doesn't mean his grace is insufficient. It doesn't mean that you can't turn the whole thing around and turn evil for good. It didn't say that. All right, watch this, Romans 8, verse 25. Read with me. Ready? Read. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. When you're hoping for what you don't see, God says you're going to have to be patient and wait on what you don't see to come forward into your life. Now, how do I wait for something? How do I wait? How do you wait on God? How do you wait on something? How do you wait on a due season? How do you wait on a breakthrough? How do you wait on a promise of God to manifest? How do you wait on a victory? How do you wait on a breakthrough? How do you do that? I mean, I want to know what I need to be doing to wait. Do I need to be laying on my couch, you know, and eating Snicker bars and watching Gunsmoke? I mean, what do I need to be doing as I wait on the Lord to do what he promised to do in his word? I want to show you exactly what we need to be doing during that time. When he says here, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it, he's saying that if you have hope, if you have hope for something, and you don't see it, otherwise it wouldn't be a hope. The Bible says, why do you hope for that which you see? If you have a hope, and biblical hope is expectation. Biblical hope is not a wing and a prayer. Oh, I hope so, saying in some derogatory term. No, biblical hope means you've received his promise, you've read his word, you know this is a reality when it comes to the will of God, and you're expecting it at the word of God. You are hoping like Abraham, the Bible says in Romans 4, hoped against hope. The world gave him hope, and God gave him hope. And he took the hope of God over the hope of the world, the hope of his own body, and he believed the promise that God's word gave him, and he received the manifestation of his hope, saying in his heart that matter of fact, let's go back and look at it. Go back four chapters to Romans 4. You're too close not to look at it. He knew what God had promised God would manifest. Watch this in Romans 4, verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's the God kind of faith. You call the thing that be not as though it were. If God were like most folk, he'd have stepped out on creation dawn and said, man, it's dark out here. I can't see a thing. But rather, he said, let there be light. Saw darkness, but he said light. Hallelujah. He called the thing that be not as though it were. And in the Hebrew, he was literally saying, light in me be. The light that is in me be. And that light manifested. Hallelujah. That's the power of your word. So watch this. He says in verse 18, who against hope, against what his body said he had the right to expect, against what the world said he could have the right to expect, against hope, believed in hope. Because Abraham was too old to have any children, and God told him he would, that he might become the father of many nations. But what was that hope built on? What was that hope rooted in? Just a positive thought? What was that hope resting in? I want to show you what the hope was resting in verse 18. He said it was resting in according to that which was spoken. Read that out loud. According to that which was spoken. In other words, his hope was based on something God said. His hope was based on something God said. Whatever hope you have in your life, you need to be able to point to the word of God and say, this hope in my life is based on this promise of God. This is the reason I have this hope. I should not be able to have a conversation with you and you say, I'm hoping this, and I'll say, well, what you standing on? Well, you know, God is good. He is good. But what gives you the right to expect that? Well, God is faithful. He is faithful. But where is your hope in? Jesus. Amen to that. Jesus. But what did Jesus say? What about Jesus are you standing on? Well, the Bible. Oh, we're getting warm. The Bible. Amen, the Bible. But what in the Bible has given you this hope? Well, it's got to be in there. I need you to know where it's at. I need you to know what it says. I need you to be able to stand on it like Abraham did. He knew exactly what God said, and it gave him hope. You have to know the promise of God, because when the enemy comes and begins to shake you, and he will, you're going to need something bigger in you than the fear on the outside of you. You're going to need a word in you bigger than the fear on the outside of you that you can rest in. That's living by faith. So his hope was based on what was spoken. He says here in verse 18, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And because he had a hope in what God said, watch what happened in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. See, when God gives you a word, you got to stop considering all the things that would deny that word. You can't be studying and analyzing all of that, those things, all of those factors that would interrupt your faith. You can't be factoring in things that interrupt your faith. Notice, he considered not his own body now dead. Why? Because his body said this can't happen. But God said it would. God gave him a hope based on his word that his body could not give him, that Sarah, his wife, could not give him. So guess what he said? Let's don't consider that. That wasn't going to be brought to the table. We're going to get this. Being now weak in faith, he considered not his own body. That's the naysayers. That's the individual going to give you all the reason why it can't happen. when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He wasn't going to consider that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Watch this. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God means he was glorifying God before the thing ever even happened. That thing ain't even manifested yet, and he's praising God for it. God be like in heaven, man, you praising me early. I ain't done it yet. And God, and he's like, but God, you're so true to your word. I don't need you to do it. I just need you to say you'll do it. Because when you say you'll do it, it's already done. Hallelujah. Think about the Roman centurion that came to Jesus. The Roman centurion that came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, I'm a man under authority. And I say to one soldier, go, and he goes. And I say to another soldier, come, and he comes. He says, I recognize delegated authority. He said, look, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But I believe if you say in a word that my servant will be healed, that's all I need. So while I'm standing here in front of you, will you just say in a word that he's healed? You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to lay hands on a man. Just say that he's healed. And Jesus looked back at that man, and he said, this is the greatest faith I've ever seen in Israel. The greatest faith I've ever seen is this man that will take me at my word and doesn't even need my physical presence. He said, well, go on, because your servant is healed. And by the time the man got home, that man had been healed, because he recognized that God's going to always have what he says. We need a group of people that'll take God at his word and believe because he said it, he will do it, and begin to give him praise in advance. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, read the rest, he was able also to perform. We like getting this help God out syndrome. We get the promise of God, and we're going to help the Lord out. I'm going to help the Lord out. The Lord doesn't need your help. He just needs your faith. You don't have to help God. You don't make God who he is. God makes you who you are. I'm not the me I am outside of him, but he's still the him he is without me. Bad English, but you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. He said, whatever God promised, God had the ability to perform that thing. So the giving glory to God and the full persuasion that God was able to perform it would put Abraham in the position of expectation. That's what's going to fuel his patience. That's what's going to fuel his patience. Right now, you may be thinking that let's go to Proverbs 23. You may be thinking, well, I've stood on the word. I've done everything you said to do, Pastor. I've been hearing the word. I've been meditating in the word. I've been getting a vision. I've been confessing the word. I'm acting on the word, but I still don't feel like I'm seeing any results. Well, patience says you keep doing that. Patience says you don't give up, you don't cave in, you don't quit. Patience says that promise has already been given an appointment called due season. And I believe that when things get their, when things get most intense, you are closest to your breakthrough. I've been living this thing for a minute, and I have found a pattern that when things get really intense, there's always a breakthrough right on the other side. Right when you get ready to wave the white flag and surrender, it's right behind that that God begins to show himself strong. And then you begin to see why the intensity and the temptation to quit was so strong in that season, because a breakthrough was right on the other side. Ask your neighbor, what's on the other side of quit? What's on the other side of quit? There's always something on the other side of quit, and I got to get there to see what was on the other side of quit. Over here, I'm thinking about quitting, but I can't quit. I got to stay patient. And what's on the other side of quit that the enemy doesn't want me to see? There's always something on the other side of quit. Hallelujah. Patience says I don't quit. Patience says I'm going to keep consistently doing the word of God. Now, patience is a force that can be applied to the wrong action. Did you hear what I just said? Patience is a force that can be applied to the wrong action. Hebrews 10:36 says, listen carefully, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I'm gonna say that another way. You have need of patience after you have done the word of God that you might receive the promise. Don't be patient about doing the wrong thing. There are a lot of folk that say they're being patient, and they are, but they're patiently doing the wrong thing. I mentioned this last week regarding marriage. You say, I'm about to give up on her, but I'm going to be patient. Okay, patient in what? Well, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just being patient. I'm waiting on the Lord to do something with her. What do you mean you're not going to do nothing? Well, I want to go back to Atlanta. Wait. Wait a minute. You mean patience for you is you're not going to run to Atlanta? Why are y'all quiet in here? Who's going to Atlanta? That's not patience. Patience is, well, it is, but it's toward the wrong thing. Patience is to say, okay, what does the word tell me to do as it relates to my spouse? And now I'm going to patiently do what the book told me to do toward my spouse and keep doing what the book told me to do toward my spouse until I begin to get a different result in my marriage. If you keep doing the same thing in your marriage that makes your marriage hard and unpleasant and unrewarding, then how do you think applying patience to that is going to bring victory in your marriage when you're still downing each other with your words, you're still not doing date night, you're still not investing in each other, you're still not applying the Bible to your marriage, and then you say, I'm going to be patient 2 more months. You can't put time limits on patience. I'm going to be patient 2 more months. Patience has to be applied to the right actions. After you've done the will of God through faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Patience says, I'm going to keep doing what the word told me to do. I'm going to be patient about doing the word. Say that out loud. I'm going to be patient about doing the word. Many people are not patient about doing the word. Let's be real. Most of us are impatient people. We're all over the place. We're not applying patience. And when we do apply it, we've got a bad definition of it. We've got this putting up mindset with patience. It's like you having a roommate in college that always puts the jelly in the peanut butter. And now you look at your roommate and you want to go upside their head. And they don't know that you want to go upside their head, but you do. And now everything about them starts to make you just cringe. And you never really noticed it before, but now you do. The other things they do that irritate you. So now you walk in like, there you go again, leave his stanky socks right here in our living room. But the socks didn't bother you before the jelly kept landing in the peanut butter. And now it's like everything is becoming irritating you because you never dealt with the peanut butter and the jelly. So then you went and told somebody, man, I about had it all I can take with my roommate. I got to get me a different dorm. Something got to happen. Well, what's wrong? Peanut butter and the jelly. I always put the jelly in the peanut butter. I don't like going to my peanut butter and jelly is in the peanut butter. But you know what? I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to put him out. That's not patience. That's putting up with. Patience says, hey, can I talk to you about the peanut butter? I know in your house, y'all probably just, that was it. You know, you might even bought the jars that had the thing swirled, which I personally never liked. That didn't have the right taste. You need to combine them on the scene. They don't need to be already combined. That needs to happen. It's like some kind of chemical reaction. Right then, you put the peanut butter, the jelly, boom, right then, bam, milk now needs to come forward, and it just works. And you say, look, do you realize you're putting the peanut butter and the jelly knife in the peanut butter? Oh, man, I do that. I forget, never happen again. Problem solved. But you doing nothing to never have a conversation with, hey, this is bothering me. Then how can you say I'm being patient? You're just putting up with something. What I'm getting at is most people don't even know what patience really means. Patience means biblical patience is I'm going to do what the word has taught me to do, and I'm going to stay consistent at the word until the Lord works it out. Everybody got that? True biblical patience is fueled. Ooh, this is going to be good. Is fueled by expectation. You show me a person that whose patience is running low, I'll show you somebody who's not fueled it with expectation. So the last work, the last act that must be applied to faith is expectation. Because it's going to fuel the whole process. Hallelujah. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Come with me to wherever it was I told you to go. All right, Proverbs 23. Let's look at it down in verse number 18. Proverbs 23, verse number 18. You get there, say amen. All right, here we go. Ready? Read. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there's an end. Surely there's a breakthrough. Surely there's a due season. Surely there's a day when his word is going to manifest in my life. Notice this, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, what am I going to need to get to the end? Expectation. If I don't have expectation, I'm not going to make it to the end. When I make it to the end, God is saying, see there? I didn't cut off your expectation. When you make it to the end, God is saying, see there, I didn't cut off your expectation. God is saying here, if you're going to make it to the end of your faith, if you're going to make it to the day of due season, if you're going to make it to the day of your breakthrough, that's going to be fueled by expectation. Expectation's going to get you to the end. Why? Because expectation causes you to constantly position yourself for what you expect to receive. See, you can talk about faith all day long. Expectation is the evidence of it. Why? Because you constantly prepare for what you expect. You are ready for what you expect. You prepare for what you expect. I can tell you what you're expecting by the way you're preparing. We expect certain things out of people. And when we really expect it, we go ahead and prepare ourselves for it before it happens. Many people walk in offense because they expect to be offended. Many people are prejudiced because they expect somebody of another color to not treat them right. It's already in my heart. You're not going to treat me right because I'm black. You're not going to treat me right because I'm white. You're not going to treat me right because I'm Hispanic or Heinz 57. Listen, whatever it is, there's this mindset that I'm going to get treated a certain way by you, and I'm expecting it, and you're not going to shock me. I'm preparing for the way I know you're going to treat me. There are many marriages today that have been poisoned by expectation, that you have an expectation from your spouse, and that is causing you to walk in constant preparation for what you have expected. God is saying that if you're going to get to the end of your faith, it's going to be fueled by expectation. The word says this in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God said, I want to give you an expected end. What are you expecting? Ask your neighbor that. What are you expecting? Because what you're expecting is going to determine everything you do. Every mental thought, every emotional feeling, every physical act is fueled by what you expect. Let me prove this to you. Come over to Proverbs 28. Patience will not work without expectation. It's fueled by it. Faith will not work without expectation. It's fueled by it. Ultimately, at the end of the day, our faith is showcased by what we expect. Ooh, I'm gonna say that again. Faith is showcased by what we expect. That's why you gotta have a vision for your life. We're gonna be getting into that real soon. Faith is showcased by what we expect. Well, we're preparing for the worst. Why? I mean, I get, you know, being prepared for things, and but mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, preparing for why? Do you expect the worst? Well, you never know. You never know in this world. You never know. Well, what about the word? Well, I know what the Bible says, but this is real. No, the Bible is real. See, that's the way people will talk. So watch this. And I'm going to show you just how powerful expectation works, even whether you acknowledge it. Whether you acknowledge it or not, expectation right now is in work in your life. It controls everything you do. You'll leave church early based on what you expected. If I don't say what you expected to hear, you might leave. If I don't quit sooner than you thought I was going, you might leave. Everything you do is fueled by expectation, and your faith will not work without it. Watch this in Proverbs 28, verse number 1. Read with me. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now watch the first statement. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Read that out loud again. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. One more time. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Why would the wicked flee when they're not even being chased? Because they know what they've sown. The wicked flee and nobody's even chasing them. Why? Because they know what they've sown. And when you know what you've sown, it changes what you expect, because you expect to harvest what you've sown. Whether anybody even knows you've sown it, you expect to reap what you've sown. So the wicked are running and nobody's even chasing them, because they know that there's a judgment coming. They know that there's a day coming. And so they're in expectation of what they've been doing, they'll run when nobody's even chasing them. You will treat people based on what you think you ought to be getting from them. Man, why are you acting like this? Oh, you think that's what you deserve from me. But that wasn't what you was going to get from me. My favorite example of expectation is this. And I want to share it with you. Go back with me to Proverbs 24, and then I'm going to share this with you. Have you ever in your life, as soon as I say these first couple of words, some of you will know exactly where I'm going, because I've been using this for years. Have you ever in your life ordered sweet tea? At the restaurant, you order sweet tea. Or lemonade, whatever it was. And then, or it could have been Dr. Pepper. Coke with a smile, whatever it was. And it, when it put it on the table, it looked like that's what that was. You didn't even look. And you took a sip, and it was something else, and you cringed. Like, if you thought that was sweet tea and you drank Dr. Pepper, it'll burn. You're like, what in the world? I said, man, miss, this is Dr. Pepper or something. I ordered sweet tea. And you may even actually like Dr. Pepper, but it's not what you were. So why would your taste bud react to Dr. Pepper when you like it after you've ordered sweet tea? Because when you made the decision for sweet tea, even your body began to set itself up in expectation. I'm trying to prove to you that you're always responding to what you expect. You're always setting yourself up for what you expect. But if your expectations have not come from the Word of God, then you're setting yourself up for the wrong result. Watch this in Proverbs 24. We'll look at it in verse 14. so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Read with me. Then there shall be a reward, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. God's saying, I honor expectation. I respond to expectation. Why? Because expectation fuels faith. Come with me to Psalm 62. Turn back in your Bible. Psalms is before Proverbs. Turn with me to Psalm 62. Expectation. The enemy wants to be the author of your expectation. Because if I can control your expectation, I can control you. Satan's number one tool against humanity is offense. That's his method of operation, is offense. What is offense? What does it mean when I get offended? It means that you either I perceive, I think, or it's a reality, you didn't do what I expected. I'm offended. Satan uses expectation because he knows its power. Two types of offended people, those that think they were wronged and those that were actually wrong. But both is based on I didn't get what I expected. The closer the relationship, the higher the expectation. And everything in your life can begin to change by what you expected. What I'm trying to do through this avenue of faith and teaching his word on faith is to set you in a position where all of your expectation is coming from God. Because he's the only one big enough to bring to pass your wants. He's the only one big enough to bring your hopes to pass. Man can't do it. Your spouse can't do it. Your mama can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. Your husband can't do it. Only God is big enough to fulfill the want of your soul. And some of us want things that we really don't even want. We don't even know that want is not healthy. And God will say, I just can't do anything right now because your want is not healthy. I need you to stay in faith and stay in patience until I can do a work on your want. I need you to delight in me so I can inject the right desire in your heart. And I need patience to do its perfect work so that you can get to a place where your expectation comes completely from me, and then I can bring the end and the result of your faith. Watch this in Psalm 62. You there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 5. My soul, read with me. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Read, for my expectation is from him. See, that's faith. Faith puts me in the position where he's the source. He's the provider. He's the miracle worker. He's the heart changer. He's the restorer. He's the healer. He's the way maker. My expectation is from him. He gave me the word. He gave me the promise. He's able to bring it to pass. I am in full expectation all day, every day, for God to do this thing in my life. That's the position that God's calling us in. And when we get in that position, that's when we're going to begin to receive the results in our life. But boy, we put so much, you know, in others. Watch this in Psalms. What verse does that be? All right, watch verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Read the rest. I shall not be moved. Read that part out loud. I shall not be moved. I want the rafters to shake and one student ministry's next door to wonder what we're doing over here. So say that loud, all right? I shall not be moved. When can you get to the place to say, I shall not be moved? When you get verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Read the rest. For my expectation is from him. When your expectation is in him, that's when you get the latter part of verse 6. Read it again. I shall not be moved. Why won't you be moved? Because my expectation is from him. See, if you're expecting the result to come from somebody or something, then one bad attitude, one bad report, one negative
naysayer will wreck your whole faith. But when your expectation is in God, nothing nobody can say, nothing nobody can do can move you, because my expectation is from Him. If I was expecting you to do it, then my faith would be rocked when you said you wasn't going to do it. But what I'm expecting is bigger than you, and my hope is not in you. My hope is in God. If I was looking for the world to do it, if I was looking for the government to do it, if I was looking for my employer to do it, then I might give up. But my hope is not in man. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in my spouse. It's not in my friend, my mama, my daddy. My expectation is in God. Therefore, I shall not be moved. See, that's the power of expectation in God. I've witnessed so many people give completely up on their faith because of a report that came from their bank, a report that came from their place of employment, a report that came from the medical office. Well, we were really hoping for healing, but we just got this medical report. What is your expectation in? If your expectation was in the medical field, then when the medical field says no, then there goes your faith. Well, we were really hoping for a positive report. We didn't get it today from the medical report. Who is your expectation in? Is it in the hospital? Is it in the doctor? Is it in the medicine, or is it in God? Because if your expectation is in God, then you don't move. It doesn't matter what the report said. Or am I getting anybody? He gave me the hope. He gave me the hope. He gave me the hope for my marriage. He gave me the hope for my life. He gave me the hope for this will. Man didn't give it. Therefore, man's not responsible for it. See, when you say any report, well, until we got this report, we really thought. I know what your expectation was in. And believers are bad about focusing on the front door when God's going to come through the back window. And we'll sit on the couch and watch that front door and like, Lord, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. And but we're focusing on the front door. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always right on time. Because He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. But see, we're still on the couch focusing on the front door. And while we singing He's an on-time God, He's done come through the back window. Listen, what I'm trying to get you to see is that you can't get focused and get God locked up in one way of doing something. God's got many ways of doing something. You can't limit Him to one way of doing something. Don't put all your eggs in the same basket. Don't put all your hope in the same place. Know that God can move any kind of way to do what He said He would do. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? If I'm expecting God to do it, He's so big, He can do it any way He wants to do it. Well, Pastor, my job doesn't pay me enough to live this kind of life. Listen, let your job set your salary. Let God set your income. Folk ought to wonder when you pull up on the job. Now, wait, He made the same thing I make. I ain't living like that, because where I work sets my salary, but God sets my income. I don't look at man as my source. God is my source. See, I know Christy does this for me. I gotta look past my wife for my needs and believe that God will meet my needs, and that her being sensitive to His spirit, He can move on her to say what I need to hear. But I can't look at her and stay focused on her. That, hey, I got expectations in this thing. I need you to be a certain way. I need you to say a certain thing. That happens naturally, but that's not biblical. That's not God. I've got to look beyond a person, even my closest person in my life, my wife, and know that she's not the source of all my strength. God uses her to bring me strength, but she's not the source. How could she be the source when she has needs just like I have needs? God has to be the source. He's the only one that can meet her needs and my needs at the same time. Why are you so down today? You just don't know what my brother told me today. He's my closest friend. You ain't gonna believe what he said today. And it just rocked my world. Okay, is your expectation in your brother? Well, no, but he told me today I wasn't gonna ever make it. And you just don't know how that affected me. Is your expectation in your brother? Well, no. Well, then don't let him control your faith. I used to have folk in the ministry of small, they'd try to counsel me and my expectations and what Word of God was going to eventually become. And I would make big decisions and I'd look at big pieces of property like this 144 acres when I didn't even have 1 acre. And they would say, you know, and they would try to downsize my faith. And then what I got in the habit of saying, it was kind of silly, but it worked for me. I would say back to them, do you want to adopt me? Do you want to be the responsible party over me? And they would say, no, I can't adopt you. Then listen to me then. If you're not going to adopt me and take full responsibility of me, I can't be putting my expectation in you. I've got to put my expectation in the one that I really expect to feed me, clothe me, provide for me, protect me, deliver me. So no matter what you say, with all due respect, my expectation is in him. You're going to have me thinking too little. You're going to have me believing too less. You're going to have me regressing in my faith if I put my expectation in what you're telling me I have the hope for. Y'all don't mess around. Stirred me up. I've been here. Now, ooh, we ain't done. We're almost done, but we're not quite there. Almost there, though. Almost there. Come with me to Galatians 6, and we're going to be, we almost there. Galatians 6. Say it out loud. My expectation is from him. But you don't even have the right for your expectation to be in him if you don't do what he told you to do. Y'all done like a choir leader. All right, what? It had to be Kirk Franklin and the family, though, because I can't sing. I know I'm going to get corrected. I don't feel an anointing when I sing, but if I ever get one, I'll do it. Now, watch this in Galatians 6. Go with me to verse number 9. Expectation. It's powerful. There was a man laid by the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3. And he would sit there lame at that gate when all the worshipers came to the temple, because he knew they all were givers and they would have money to give. And so he laid at that gate as people passed by. And he would expect an alms, a gift given to the poor. And so he's sitting there, and he wouldn't have been sitting there if he wasn't expecting something. And so Peter walked by one day, and John, and Acts 3 says this, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. Listen to this. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Because that's what he'd been sitting there looking at other folk for. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now let me bring that to our life. Y'all leaving too early. I mean, it's about to get good up in here. Y'all leaving? Good grieving. Man. I got to be more careful. I just don't want nobody to miss what we're getting ready to get into. It just, oh, you're going to miss it, man. Golly, it might be your word. You couldn't be patient. So this man's been laying at this gate always expecting the same thing, somebody to come throw him a coin. And that's what's got him at the gate every day. If I lay right here at this gate, these worshipers are going to come and throw me some coins. That's what I'm going to live off of. Peter shows up and says, hey, look on us. You're looking at all these folk coming in the temple with coins in their hand. Look on us. You've been looking at the wrong folk. You've been expecting the wrong stuff. We need to change your expectation. Look on us. And they said this, silver and gold have I none. Our silver and gold you don't need. You have limited your life by expecting too little. Why would you expect silver and gold to get you by being lame when we have the power to heal you where you can get up and live for yourself and not be dependent on somebody else's change? That man could not receive his healing until he changed the level of his expectation. And some of you right now have got to get your eyes off of man. You've got to get your eyes off this world. You've got to get your eyes off your past. You've got to get your eyes off methods that you've been using all your life and say, I got to raise my level of expectation. I serve a big, big God, and I'm expecting too little when he's a big God. Now, I'm going to close with this right here. Watch this in Galatians 6. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, you might be weary in bad doing. He says, don't be weary in well-doing. Read it with me. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see that big old if? We shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. Read it and put some umph in the if. Ready? We shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. I love the umph and the imp. That's good right there. Umph and the if. For in due season we shall reap if we faint. In other words, if you faint, you're not going to reap in due season. It doesn't mean you won't reap. You're not going to do it in due season. Due season was the appointed time for your faith to manifest. You can miss your appointment if you don't keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't miss your appointment. Have anybody in here ever missed an appointment and you had to call and get a new appointment and the new appointment was like 2 weeks? Like, man, I got to wait 2 weeks all because I missed my first appointment. Don't miss your appointment. Man, I'd hate the thought of waiting all this long and miss my appointment. Because I got weary in well-doing. I got tired of well-doing. I got tired of being patient. I got tired of being consistent and constant in this word. Listen, don't let your due season have to be rescheduled. The children of Israel, I don't know, I've heard 14 days, I've heard 40 days, but everything I have heard, none of it said 40 years. And the amount of time that it would have taken them to get from Egypt at the Red Sea to the Promised Land. It didn't need 40 years. It took 40 years because they wouldn't stay patient in his word and they had to go back around the mountain again. It didn't take Abraham 15 years to have Isaac. It took 15 years because he didn't do what God told him to do the first time. Don't let something take you 40 years that could have been done in 40 days because your expectation was not in God and you were not remaining patient in his word. Hallelujah. All right, very last verse, Ecclesiastes 3, and this is it right here. This word here will give you hope and expectation. I want you to walk out of here, not right now, but I want you to walk out of here
I want you to walk out of here with this conviction. If someone looked in my life, what would they say I was expecting? If I came over your house, and you know, you're newlyweds, and I came over your house, and you know, you live in a two-bedroom house, I came over your house, went to your restroom, passed your second bedroom, and I noticed that you had workout equipment. And you know, my boy got the buff on. And then a little while later, I come by the house and the workout equipment's gone and that other room been painted pink. And you ain't told me nothing. I'm not even making it to the bathroom. I'm gonna go walk back right in there and say, wait a minute. Y'all expecting? A girl? See, how do I know that? By your preparation. Preparation is the evidence of expectation. And when you expect to receive from God, you prepare to receive from God. If you're expecting to receive from man, then you're prepared to receive from man. The man at the gate called beautiful was expecting to receive from the worshipers that came by, expecting coins. Peter and John said, no, look on us. You're looking the wrong way. Look over here. And I believe God right now is saying, hey, you're looking the wrong way. Look over here. And now when his word begins to fuel your expectation, your life sends the message, and I see it, and the evidence of it is your preparation. You cannot tell me you have faith in anything that you're not mentally, physically, spiritually preparing for. We didn't no sooner break ground out here, and I had more folk than I can count just stop me left and right. We built a dome. They saw dirt and said, dome? I ain't gonna mess up their faith. In due season. It's coming. This is the first phase. We're gonna get there. But I get excited when I hear that, because what's that telling me? We're expecting it. If you see a tractor show up and kick some dirt over, then they must be preparing for it. We are. There can be no expectation without preparation. All right, Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to close here. Verse 1. Y'all forgive me for going so long. I just get carried away. I just be all right. And y'all just staying on in here. Nobody else left. That's beautiful. We almost done. Watch this. Verse 1. To everything there is a season. Read it out loud. To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. So if this thing has a purpose in your life, it's got a season in your life. Read with me. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. 28 times. There's a time, but there's never a time listed called a time to quit. Everything you can imagine in life is listed in Ecclesiastes 3, and the Bible says there's a time for it, but he never lists a time to quit. Why? Because there's never a time to quit, not with God. There is never a time to call it quits. It does not exist with God. Because you quit on God when you say he can't do it. And there's never a day he can't do it. You can't quit. You can't quit. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't quit.
What you gonna miss if you quit? What's on the other side of your quit? What is going to, what impact for the kingdom and your life and your family and your future is gonna be made if you just don't quit? Amen. I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna be done. You can't just say, I'm not gonna quit and keep doing what you've been doing that led you to wanna quit. Okay, the pastor gave me a word tonight. I'm not going to quit. Okay, what you going to do? Well, I don't know, but I'm not going to quit. You can't keep doing what led you to quit. Otherwise, you hadn't heard nothing I've said all this time. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Glory to God. Whoo! Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray right now, Father, for any heart, any mind, any life that's been patient about the wrong thing, whose expectations been in the wrong person or in the wrong act or the wrong thing. And I ask right now, God, that you would just realign our expectations, that you would just realign our patience, our consistency in your word. Search your heart right now. Take inventory of your life. I'm going to make this brief, but I want there to be some soul searching before we dismiss in prayer and have an altar time. I want there to be some soul searching. If I looked in your life, what would I see that you're expecting? What does your life say you're expecting? You're preparing for it. You're preparing for it. Some of you don't know how to receive love because you never got it. So you just expect hate. And you've been hurt. And your feelings and your emotions are legitimate. Because it's what you've come to expect in life. Maybe it was a daddy that wasn't there. Maybe it was parents that were never home. Oh, goodness. You know, you were the kid in school that didn't get picked to play. You sat in the back of the class. You didn't ever want to give your name on the beginning day of school. You didn't expect anybody to like you because you had never learned to expect like. Somebody tried to do you good and you couldn't even receive it. You'd say, oh, no, that's all right, because you never received good. You never learned how to expect it. And now that has affected you. Now you're living a life beneath God's perfect plan and perfect will for you because you've learned to settle for less. You've learned to expect less. You've learned to prepare for the worst. And now it's controlling your demeanor. It's controlling your attitude. It's controlling the way you treat people. You're always on guard. It's fight or flight all the time. Fight or flight. But let this be a day of your healing. Where you say, God, you know, men have let me down. People have let me down. My mom, my dad, my relatives, my brother, the closest to me. I've been hurt. I've been offended. I've been left alone. And to save myself from future hurt, I just stopped expecting anything good from people. If I didn't expect anything good, then I wouldn't get let down. I never got the raise on the job. I never got the bonus, I never got the promotion, so I just stopped expecting. That way I wouldn't get hurt when I didn't get it. And the enemy is driving you right now, and he's put you in a place of isolation, and he's got you in a place outside the will of God. And I feel like right now I'm speaking to somebody. You're that person laid at that gate called beautiful, and you're just like, okay, throw the coin. I'm lame. I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck here. Just throw me a coin. But the apostle showed up and said, look on us. There, you have the right to expect something more than a coin thrown in your lap. Look on us in the name of Jesus. You rise up and walk. You come out of this place of bondage. You come out of this place of brokenness. Jesus today makes you whole, and he raises you up from this pit
Oh, Lord, make us free today. Somebody in here is always preparing for the worst. It's making you defensive. It's shortening your fuse and your patience with people because you're always expecting the worst. It's deteriorating the hope of your life, of all that God can do, because something in your past has conditioned you not to expect good. I'm talking to somebody right now. If that's you, this is your word. You've got to break out of this and not let the enemy keep you in this place of always preparing for the worst. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. Pastor, I just live my life expecting and preparing for the worst. I know you may not want to stand up in front of all these people, but I believe there's going to be freedom right here. Holy Spirit, I'll do that. I want you to come down this altar. Come down to the altar. Because altar means change. And tonight you're going to leave this place free of whatever it is that's put you in this position where you can't expect better. Some of you have given up on relationships. You've given up on friendships. You've just learned that men are going to hurt me. Women are going to hurt me. So I'm just going to stay away. I'm going to stay out of relationships. And I'm going to go home and get lost in movies and other people's lives and just following everybody else's world on Facebook. And you see the post of other people and you wonder why you can't have that happiness, but you refuse to even go there in your mind. And whether you know it or not, the enemy's locked you in a cell. He has locked you in a chamber of hopelessness. Some of you have just been conditioned by the home you came out of. You stopped expecting your daddy to show up at the game because he never made it. And you feel if you just stopped expecting him to show up, then you wouldn't be hurt when he didn't. You stopped expecting mom to do that thing because she never did. And you just locked yourself in this mindset that if I don't expect it, it won't hurt me when she doesn't do it. And some of you right now are in a marriage that's not healthy because you've just stopped expecting what your husband never gave you. You expected words that of adoration. You expected him just to build you up and make you feel special and that you were unique and that he was passionate about you, but you never got it. He never said those words to you, and so now you don't even expect it from him. So you stop looking at him with admiration. You stop looking at him with respect and honor because in your mind, he's just someone that never met your expectation. And I'm telling you that the Lord ordered this service and in Jesus' name you're going to walk out here tonight, stop preparing for the worst, because what's happening is you're going to be just like that man at that pool who laid there 38 years. And when Jesus said to him, will you be made whole? He said, no one will put me in the pool. When I go to get in the pool, somebody else jumps in front of me. He let 38 years of his past stop his hope. It stopped his hope. He had no hope because of 38 bad years. He didn't know that right in front of him was healing. And there's some of you right now, right in front of you in this moment as you're healing. Let go of 38 years of pain. Let go of everything that's been done that's built up this mindset that you can't have a better life. You can be loved, and you are loved.
you can be appreciated, and you are appreciated. You can be honored, and you are honored. You can live a better life. It's God's will. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. You're not the person that always has to settle for less. You don't always have to have the back seat. I'm telling you that this day of breakthrough is coming because God today is going to change your expectation. You're going to believe God for more, for yourself, for your family, for your future, for a life that will bring him glory. Why? Because he promised it. He promised it. And it doesn't matter that your past has let you down. It doesn't matter that your mom let you down, that your dad hurt you down, that ex-husband hurt you and abandoned you. Today is the day of your healing, and you're going to be who God called you to be, and you're going to live this life of faith that he called you to live. Because if you don't break this today, what's going to end up happening is that you are going to see a generational cycle come in your life where you're going to become the parent to your child that your parent was to you, because that's all you know to expect. Therefore, what you know to expect is all you know to give. Do you know that you give to others what you expect from them? How many of you here tonight, and every head bowed at this altar, wounded by parents, the way you were raised, your home life, it scarred you, it hurt you? Oh, man, I sensed that earlier. Father, I pray right now for every broken heart. Of broken promises. And the hurt that came when the expectation wasn't met. For every life here that just began to expect less and prepare for the worst. To save themselves the pain of another letdown. And God, I pray that not one soul here tonight would take that view that they have from their mom or dad and carry it over into the way they see you. So, Father, I thank you that you're a good God and that you're a loving Father, and that even when our mothers and our fathers forsake us, your word says that you will raise us up. So, Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just reveal your heart to your children right now. Just reveal your love, Lord, that when mom and dad were not there, you were there. And that you're so sensitive that you have led this service and this moment to deal with this issue that has existed for years, Lord, that you want us free tonight, God. I thank you for that, that you liberate us tonight, God. I hear that, Lord, I hear that. Listen, there are those of you are expecting from God what you got from your parent. Questioning your identity because you were adopted. Questioning your being lovable because you didn't get it at home. How many of you here don't know how it feels to be hugged by your daddy? If you, I don't know what that feels like. Father, I pray right now that you undo the damage, that you heal,
And right now in your spirit, just hug your babies tonight. Envelop us in your love. How many of you suffered verbal abuse? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I bind every word. I bind every word. Every curse word, every word of defeat, every word of failure. I ask right now by your spirit that you retract those words from every heart that has heard them, that has received them, God. Every cursed word, every corrupt word. Break its power, God, tonight over us. It's had its day too long. Every word that's been spoken over you that devalued you by a man or a woman that used that language to control you, I want you to know right now in the name of Jesus that your value is not established by someone who would dishonor you with your word, with their words. Your value is not established by someone who would demean you and disrespect you and dishonor you with their words. Your value is not in that. You are a child. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are precious in His sight. You are of great value. He gave His life for you. He's given you a purpose. He's given you an identity. And you don't have to live in the expectation of being disrespected and dishonored and devalued, underappreciated. You've come to expect it. You've got to stop expecting it. Oh, Father, do right now at this altar what only you can do. Do at this altar what only you can do. In the name of Jesus, you're going to walk out of here tonight and you are not going to be the same. You're not going to walk in the same expectation. You're not going to live that way anymore. You're not going to look at other people's lives and say, I could never live that way. I could never have that. Why couldn't you? I'm telling you right now that what I'm preaching, I'm living. I should not be who I am. I shouldn't live the life I'm living. I shouldn't be married to the woman I'm married to and have the kids I have and do what I'm doing. But by His grace, I am who I am. By His grace, He's given me a life that I could not have imagined. And I'm telling you that He's no respecter of persons. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And I'm telling you that He's that good. He's just that good. He's that good of a God. So you're going to think bigger and you're going to look wider and further in the name of Jesus. And you're going to stop preparing for the worst because you're expecting the best. Why prepare for the worst when you expect the best? Glory to God. And you're going to begin to treat others in the name of Jesus with the way that you are treated by God and the way you expect in God. It's going to show up in the way that you treat others. You're going to expect good in people. Therefore, you're going to sow good in people. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that every stronghold be broken. That every mindset, that every mindset that is not in line with the knowledge of your word
will surrender at this altar right now in the name of Jesus. You said what we bind on earth, you would bind in heaven. And what we loosed on earth, you would loose in heaven. Daniel fasted 21 days. It is a reality that to reshape the physical attributes of the brain, you need 21 days of consistency. You cannot renew the mind without patience. And I'm going to challenge every one of you at this altar that for the next 3 weeks, you are going to consistently reject every thought that's been planted in you by your past. And you are going to aggressively speak the word of God over your life. And I'm telling you that after 3 full weeks of consistently applying that word, your soul is going to be converted. Your mind is going to be changed. And you are not going to be the same ever again. And everyone in your life is going to notice it, and you will be able to point back to this day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want you to say this out loud with me, and I'm gonna let you return. I want you to say this out loud with me, because I believe there's power in declaring His word. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. For God knows the thoughts that He has toward me. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give me an expected end. So has His knowledge and wisdom been to my soul. It has led me to a reward, and my expectation shall not be cut off. For surely there is an end, and my expectation shall not be cut off. In Jesus' name. Listen. Amen. Rejoice, but listen to me. The wicked flee when no man pursues. Stop letting your past establish your expectation. The reason so many people allow themselves to be disrespected by people with their words is because they grew up in a home expecting it. Some of you are allowing yourself to be disrespected. You're allowing yourself to be spoken to in a demeaning fashion because you've come to expect that. But tonight, you're going to walk out of here, and you're not going to expect people to disrespect you. You are not going to be expecting to be treated like you're a nobody, because you're not a nobody. You're a somebody that Jesus gave His life for, and you are loved. Father, I thank You that whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And I just proclaim Your liberty right now over every soul here, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.